Tuesday, June 23rd. Michael Pineda, what was that last night? What
that
happened?
That was something that cost me some money is what that was.
That was Michael Franco.
It was a lot more than Michael Franco. It was horrible. It was 11 hits and 3 1/3 for Michael Pineda. And we'll talk about him and his inconsistency. Welcome to the show. I'm Adam Azer, the host of this podcast, with Al Melchior and fill-in host slash awesome analyst slash nerd, Chris Towers. What's up, Chris?
You are the one true host.
How was Friday? Did you enjoy it?
Yeah.
Tell me now that you've done both, which is harder, hosting or analyzing?
Hosting, because you have to have that, like, Adam Azer excitement and personality, and I just don't have that, you know? I'm a pretty laid-back dude. I don't have the energy.
You know, the thing is,
do you get up and just, like, shotgun Red Bull?
No, I've never had a Red Bull. I've had Red Bull, like, one sip, don't care for it. I've never had coffee in my life, except for one accidental sip years ago, so I don't do any of that. And I'm kind of a grouch in real life, I think. But when the...
Yeah, but you're so,
animated.
You're so ebullient.
Yeah, well, when the lights come on, when the on-air light goes on, I'm a different
person.
You're
a professional.
Yeah, you gotta learn
that. I think that's what it comes down to, is I'm just not a professional.
Well, there's time to learn, Chris. Anyway, we got plenty to talk about here. Watch DFS Live, and that's Daily Fantasy Live, excuse me, on CBSSports.com, 6 p.m. Eastern to 7 p.m. Eastern, and help you with your FanDuel lineup. And don't listen to me when I tell you to start Michael Pineda. But here's your stat of the day, because we have a great show. I'm very excited about today's show. It's going to be a lot of fun. I have some surprises for you. Stat of the day, last 24 games, he's got an OPS over 1,300 with a .352 batting average and 15 homers in 24 games. That, of course, would be Albert Pujols. Two more home runs last night. He is the number 10 hitter in fantasy. Number 5 first baseman, because it's that good of a position, but number 10 hitter. Okay, tell me what you think about Albert Pujols. We have talked about him a lot lately, but wow, it is not letting up.
No, it's not, and that's meaningful to me because, you know, we've talked about him at various points during this hot streak, and I've sort of minimized it, you know, saying, well, you know, it's a hot streak. It's not that long, but I'm impressed with the staying power.
He's only got a .230 BABIP, so you look at him and you think, hey, he could even have room to grow. I think he's the ultimate sell-high candidate right now. He's 5 home runs short of his total from last season. He's already surpassed his total from 2013, and he's 7 short of his total from 2012. I think you have to trade Albert Pujols right now if you have him on your team.
Let me play devil's advocate. So the last 2 years weren't great for Pujols. He started out very well last year, but then really struggled probably for about 4 months. But this was the healthiest offseason that Pujols had in the last, I guess, 3 seasons, 2013, 14, mm-hmm. and then 15. And in 2012, you look at the 30 home runs he hit, but he drove in 105 runs. And remember, that was his first year with the Angels, and he got off to a terrible start. Pujols batted .217 with no homers in April. So he had 30 home runs in the last 5 months of the season. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not disagreeing with you about sell high necessarily, but I don't know how people are actually valuing him. Like, if we're drafting today, we always do the first 2 rounds, hypothetically, and we've moved Todd Frazier into the back end of the second round or whatever. I don't think people are necessarily going to take Pujols in the first 2 rounds. You know, there's still 4 first basemen that are probably, well, there's Rizzo, Goldschmidt, and Miggy are clearly ahead of him. Who am I forgetting? Frazier. Frazier's clearly ahead of him, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying, Chris? Like, yeah, if people are buying him as like the best player in baseball, which he's been for the last month, you sell high on him. But is he a solid, like, third round pick kind of guy in a 12 team league rest of season?
I just think he's never going to play better than he is right now. He's never going to be healthier than he is right now. You say it's the healthiest offseason he's had in years. Well, that's a big part of why I think you should sell high on him. He's 35 years old. He's been having to play through injuries a lot over the last few seasons, and you can say that sapped his effectiveness, but it's also part of why he's so much less valuable now. It's just he hasn't been as good and he hasn't been as healthy. And so I just think...
Tell me what you expect from him rest of season. Let's frame it that way.
I mean, I think he's got, with 23 home runs and 68 games, I think he's got a great shot to finish with 40. But I would expect him to hit 270 with 15 to 18 home runs from this point on. I think he'll be good.
That's a very good year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a very good finish. Al, what do you think?
No, that sounds right on to me. And, yeah, I get, Chris, what you're saying. It probably would be a very good idea to at least see what you can get for him. But, I wouldn't expect to be blown away. I'd be happy to get that production rest of season from him.
You'd be happy to, but I think it's kind of like Adrian Gonzalez after the first month where he was so good. And you know he can be that good, but you know he's not going to be that good moving forward. And if you get a chance, if somebody is really struggling, like in one of my leagues, I've got Carlos Santana as my first baseman. That might be a situation where I'm willing to overpay for a top flight first baseman. And if you can convince me, or if I'm convinced myself that Albert Pujols is that guy, I think there's an opportunity to swindle someone.
All right. So find that owner.
But you wouldn't do that. You wouldn't overpay for Pujols.
I wouldn't, no.
Now,
I'm too smart for that.
Do you think Pujols will be better than Carlos Santana rest of season?
I don't know. I mean, probably.
Al?
Yeah, no, I do think he will be.
Would you trade Pujols straight up for Clayton Kershaw?
I would give up Albert Pujols for Clayton Kershaw 100 times out of 100.
Me too.
Where are you guys right now on Clayton Kershaw? We got an email that was, I think I put it in the notes. I chuckle, but I feel like a lot of people might feel this way. Jonathan wrote, getting a little worried about Kershaw. I'm in a 10-team, 7-player keeper league. My other pitchers worth noting are Sale and Carrasco. Which hitter should I consider targeting, or am I just overreacting about Kershaw?
Yeah, I'd say overreacting, and if there are a lot of people who are thinking similarly about him, then there's no way you're going to get appropriate value for Kershaw. And in terms of where I view him right now, I still view him as part of a three-headed monster at the top of the pitcher rankings. I do think that Sale and Scherzer have closed the gap on him, but he's still right there.
If 7 innings, 4 hits, 3 runs, 2 walks, and 9 strikeouts qualifies as a bad start, then that just tells you everything you need to know about Clayton Kershaw. He has a 1.04 whip. He's averaging a strikeout per inning more than he averaged last year when he won his second straight Cy Young. No, he hasn't been as good. More home runs this year. What home runs, 1 per 9 inning. That's his highest since his rookie year, I think.
And those have been clumpy because I think it was the 5 starts preceding this one, he was allowing a slugging percentage that was under 300. So
he's awesome. He's still awesome. Okay, so let's just get that out of the way. Monday standouts. I know we're doing the standouts early, but trust me, we're going to have a lot of fun today. Surprises, surprises. One of them I actually mentioned yesterday, but Chris didn't hear. I have 4 beefs with Chris Towers from his hosting job on Friday.
Whoa.
Monday standouts. I'll start with Michael Franco, guys. 4 for 5 with 2 home runs, a great defensive play. He scored 3 runs. He drove in 5. He did have 1 strikeout. Shame on him. At the Yankees. And now Franco's batting .312 with 9 home runs and 8 doubles. He has 11 hits his last 4 games. Discuss a guy who's 80% owned.
This is a guy who's a top 20 prospect in baseball before last season. He had 1 bad year at AAA. He doesn't look good in a brief call up in the majors. And all of a sudden, the excitement is completely gone. We're completely prospect crazy in the fantasy baseball world. And for some reason, nobody's buying into Michael Franco, even though he's doing exactly what he should be doing. He's making good contact. He's hitting for solid power, probably more power than you should expect moving forward. 9 home runs in 36 games. That's more than you should expect. He's more of a 25 homer guy, but he's got a low strikeout rate. He's going to hit. He plays in a favorable park. The lineup's crappy, but I don't understand the lack of enthusiasm about him. Trevor Plouffe was more owned than him up until like Friday. That's what's crazy to me is that third base is really deep. Corner infield in general is really deep. He might not be a top 30 corner infielder rest of season. But there are guys out there that we're using at corner infield that don't have the upside as him and don't have the current day production that he's done.
See, in a way, I'm sort of encouraged by what you're telling me about fantasy owners because I guess I was one who wasn't really buying into Franco, in terms of being this good. And
yeah, I'm not buying into him being this good either. But I think a 290, 285 hitter with 25 home runs has a ton of value.
Yeah, and I'm not sure that I thought that he was going to do that. I'm certainly more convinced now that he can do something like that rest of the season. But I don't know. His minor league track record has been a bit mixed, and it took him a while to adjust once he got to AAA.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought some caution was warranted. Now, I do think at this point
that
you need to be starting him over the likes of Trevor Plouffe.
He's pretty much hit since he got up. You know, there hasn't really been too much of an extended cold streak. He's been up for 36 games, and he's pretty much hit consistently. I think through the first 2.5 weeks, his average was pretty low. But other than that, he's been productive, and that's why I can't understand why we've been so slow to buy into him.
All right,
I think it's you know, the combination of, like I said, the kind of mixed record of AAA and the fact that he's playing on a team that's not going to help him at all.
Yeah.
You know, that said, I'm looking at my rankings, which are going to get an overhaul today, much overdue overhaul. I have Franco 23rd, and I'm probably going to move him up to 13, just behind Manny Machado.
Ooh, that's a big move right there. So that's ahead
A big move, but I'm seeing there's a big drop off, and where it gets a little dicey is right behind Machado. I've got Simeon, who I'll certainly lower, and then Beltre and Moustakas. And at this point, I do like Franco better than them. I think that's where it gets close, though.
Okay, and other guys that Al's going to be jumping, Michael Franco ahead of Pablo Sandoval, Pedro Alvarez, Xander Bogaerts, Ryan Zimmerman.
There's no disagreement. I don't think there's any disagreement on any of those guys. There's a couple that maybe you think, like, maybe Adrian Beltre when he gets back, maybe Ryan Zimmerman, but he's got that foot injury. I think it makes perfect sense to move him that high.
So, Chris, here's something that you need to learn for next time you host. Ready?
Yeah.
Let's speed things up a bit.
I know. I didn't drop a let's speed things up a bit until like the last minute.
Well, who stood out to you guys?
Well, a couple of guys, but in terms of the performances were not what I expected, but I can't say I'm buying them either. Let's start with Joe Blanton.
There you go.
I certainly didn't, you know, see that coming. And yet when you look at things like the batted ball data on FanGraphs, he's the same guy. And he has always been somebody who's had a really good strikeout to walk ratio. That's what he's got so far this year. But he's been a high BABIP guy because he allows hard contact, and he's still allowing a lot of hard contact. But, you know, I think he's maybe just, you know, not, the hitters just aren't finding the gaps. And I think eventually they will. So as much as you might think this is a new Joe Blanton, it looks like the same old guy.
Blanton has had an ERA below 3.95 once in his career. Chris, stand out for you?
I'm not sure. I mean, Byron Buxton was definitely a standout last night. He was awesome. He is so fast.
Yeah, he is.
I'm still having trouble. He doesn't look, before last night, he looked so overmatched. 10 strikeouts and 30 at-bats, only 2 walks. The speed's not, as Billy Hamilton has taught us, the speed's not going to matter that much if you can't hit. And that's my concern with him, is that he's just not ready yet.
I think the most interesting thing with Buxton was that he batted leadoff last night.
Yeah.
Whereas I think he was batting ninth prior.
And I mean,
I think that's a big deal. And I think Billy Hamilton is actually a prime example of why that's a big deal. I think it helps with run score, but also getting an extra at bat every game is important.
Well, yeah. If you're not a good hitter, it definitely increases your chances. He also showed what he can do with his speed because he turned a routine grounder to the shortstop into a hit.
Mm-hmm.
And then a pretty routine ball in the gap into a double. I don't think there's any other player in baseball that turns that ball into a double.
Hamilton? Billy Hamilton?
Maybe.
Or Billy Hamilton probably just doesn't,
I don't know. Yeah,
can't
I don't
hit
know
that
if Billy
far.
Hamilton can hit the ball that far.
Billy Hamilton has some homers this year. Does he have 5 or am I crazy?
I think he's got something around there, yeah. But, you know, he's on a very short list of guys that can do that, and that's what makes him so enticing. It's just, hard to figure out whether he's the overall track record still doesn't look great.
Two things. Yeah, two things on Buxton. They're not committing to batting him leadoff. That was could have been a one day thing. And Al made a good point yesterday. He's had trouble. He's been a little bit slow adjusting when he's gotten to a new level. Mm-hmm. So be patient with Byron Buxton. In fact, the league that I dropped him in, I tried to get him back and missed out on that opportunity he was claimed. So I was a little disappointed about that. Billy Hamilton has 3 home runs, by the way. We got to talk about Michael Pineda, guys. Pineda, 3 1/3, 11 hits, 8 runs, 1 walk, no strikeouts. And now he's got a 4.25 ERA and a 1.28 whip. And since the 16 strikeout game against Baltimore, his last 7 starts since then, they've been very, very up and down. Personally, I don't really think the 16 strikeout game is the reason for it. I think he threw about 111 pitches. That's not so much. But he's been inconsistent. I don't know. It just seems like there are days when he has absolutely no secondary stuff. And I don't really have an explanation for it with Pineda. Do you? Do you?
No, I don't. And, since that 16 strikeout game, it's, like I said, it's been inconsistent. It's not like he hasn't had some pretty dominant starts. In fact, his last one against the Marlins.
Yeah.
6 2/3, 1 run, 9 strikeouts. And, he's been fairly consistent with at least getting swings and misses. For some odd reason, he had a lot of trouble last night against the Phillies. I mean, he just did not look effective at all last night. And maybe it is just one of those things that you just chalk up. I think Pineda is somebody who, even at his best, sort of like Danny Salazar, that because he's got a history of fly ball tendencies, he'll miss some bats, but he'll get clocked too.
Okay, Pineda or Salazar, rest of season?
Pineda.
That's not where I expected you to go. I'd probably go Pineda too.
Do you still consider Pineda a top 20 starting pitcher?
I'd have to say probably not.
I think you could move him down, but I also think he's someone that I am interested in buying low on if I can. I'm gonna go look and see if there's anything I can do, because he still does have tremendous peripherals. He's still getting a lot of ground balls, so I think there's still some value in going to try to trade for him.
You know, in looking at my rankings, I'm sorry, I'm just backtracking to the question about top 20 starting pitcher. I'm gonna move Chris Archer ahead of him.
Seems like an obvious.
I'm going to move Tanaka ahead of him, and I'm thinking I'm probably going to move Jose Fernandez.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
Back in 9 days.
Yeah,
and he had another very good rehab outing yesterday. Was it yesterday?
Whenever it was. It's the only thing keeping me going at this point. This return.
So let's go through the big news here. And by the way, good to see Chris Bryant. He was a standout yesterday. He had 2 home runs, 1 off of Kershaw. And he had been really, really cold. First home run hit off a pitcher since May 26th. So if you stuck with Bryant, and I think he was started in 95% of leagues, congratulations. Addison Reed was sent to AAA. Brad Ziegler is 40% owned. Should he be more owned at this point?
Yeah.
Agreed.
You think he's the closer now?
Yep.
Johnny Cueto's Tuesday start was pushed to Friday. Freddie Freeman probably going on the DL with his wrist injury. Don Mattingly said Andre Ethier will remain a starter when Carl Crawford returns. The Yankees are going 6-man rotation for the time being. So Adam Warren and Ivan Nova will both start this week. Nova will start Wednesday against the Phillies and Cole Hamels. Hamels will make that start. Mark Teixeira got a cortisone shot in his neck. The MRI came back negative. He's likely out today, but right now I guess we'll call Mark Teixeira day-to-day. Same with Nelson Cruz, who's...
Sounds horrible.
What, the Cruz thing?
Cortisone shot in your neck?
Oh, that. Yeah, but how about having your pelvic bone pop out of place? That's what happened to Nelson Cruz.
And yeah, that sounds icky.
Yeah, he's day-to-day. So they say it's not a big deal. Yan Gomes missed another game with his neck injury. If you're in an AL-only league, Andrew Romine's been starting at third base over Lonnie Chisenhall. Any interest in him in AL-only? Romine?
Castellanos, right?
Yes, yeah, sorry. Okay. Sorry, yeah. Chisenhall hasn't played third base for Detroit in a long time.
Yeah. It ruins the tiny bit of value that Castellanos had, and I don't think it does much for Romine. Well, in deeper leagues, he can be a stolen base source.
And is there any defending Pete Rose anymore? Is ESPN reporting that he bet on baseball in 1986 when he was a player manager for the Reds.
Eh.
No, sorry, not sorry. Eh. No, no.
Eh.
He is such a liar. And that evidence is very convincing. He is such a liar. The thought of him going to the Hall of Fame is a, I've always been against it. Hall of Fame or reinstatement. It is just, forget it. Forget it. Like, no way. He has no case and he should not be involved in baseball.
Well, I completely agree with you on the reinstatement issue, but it is the Hall of Fame and not the Hall of Morals.
Well, yeah, I just don't know that you can definitively say that he never played the game or managed the game differently based on his gambling.
You definitely can't say that, and that's a concern. On the other hand, it's not like we're putting Pete Rose in the Hall of Fame because of what he did in 1986.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It's
a museum.
It's fine, a personal failing. It's an addiction. It's some you can't really control it. Let him in.
Fine. I mean, I disagree, but I see where you're coming from. FanDuel was a real jerk last night, but only because of Pineda. Actually, the hitting, I did fine with the hitting. I had the Yankee stack going. That was good. Cano was a good value. He had a home run last night. I got Cano in my lineup again.
A real over the fence home run.
Yeah.
Robinson Cano.
Pretty good.
That happened. I saw it with my own eyes.
But FanDuel, we're gonna get back on there today. We're gonna win some money. Sign up right now. Use our offer code CBSPOD, P-O-D, CBSPOD. And that you do that by clicking on the microphone in the upper right hand corner, entering that offer code, and for every dollar you deposit, FanDuel will match it with up to $200 that gets earned as you play, a bonus of up to $200. And you're gonna watch Daily Fantasy live tonight, 6 p.m. Eastern. Then you're gonna set your lineup. Then you're gonna win. And that's how FanDuel works. Entry fees start at just $1, guys. It's very cheap. Very fun, very easy to play. If you don't feel like playing today, sit the day out and get on there tomorrow, whatever it is. There's no season-long commitment. Are you ready for an impromptu game of Fantasy Feud?
Always.
Okay.
Right. Not ready in the sense that I'm going to succeed, but ready in that. I'm ready to have fun.
Fantasy Feud works just like Family Feud, except with fantasy baseball players. I think it's the first time we played this year. And here we go. We got three rounds. Al, are you usually bad at this game? I feel like you'd never win.
That's pretty much what I was just alluding to.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was looking up the stats, and I guess I didn't hear what you said.
I always win in basketball, but that's a different beast.
Okay, Fantasy Feud begins with the top. Oh, wait. Hey, just a little help for you guys. Pull up the all the teams. Just pull up the standings or whatever, a list of teams to help you out.
All right.
You do that. You let me know when you're ready.
I got it.
Al?
Sure.
Ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. Top five answers are on the board in either format, points or roto. Give me the top five outfielders in fantasy this season.
We have to ding in.
Well, just say an answer.
Giancarlo Stanton.
That is correct. He is number two. Al, you have a chance for number one.
Number one. Above Stanton.
Five.
Oh, Bryce Harper.
Bryce Harper is correct. Okay, pass or play, Al?
Good thing there wasn't a time limit there. I'll pass.
You're passing?
Yeah.
Nobody passes. Okay, Chris, the board is yours. We got the top two answers, Harper and Stanton. We need three more top five outfielders this year, and you have three strikes to get it done.
All right, Mike Trout.
That is correct. He's number three.
Huh. I'm going to try not to waste too much time.
Good.
Trying to think of my answer. Starling Marte.
Starling Marte is incorrect. One strike.
Jock Peterson.
Jock Peterson is number eight. That is incorrect.
You said that just so you could hear Adam say that.
That was a pretty good guess, though.
Number eight's pretty good, yeah.
Pretty good guess. Huh.
See, while you're thinking of this, I think you're having us do this because there's a guy at four or five who's surprising, and I think I know who that guy is.
Shut up, Al.
You like the book.
Okay, Chris, two strikes. Al, get ready to steal.
I got one more. There's still time.
You got 5 seconds, Chris.
Oh, I can't handle this kind of pressure. Jose Bautista.
Correct. He's number four.
I bought myself some time. Let's go. Nelson Cruz.
I think he's number seven.
Oh, come on.
Sorry. Very good. All right. The Melchior family has a chance to steal.
Give me AJ Pollock.
Oh, that is so wrong, dude.
Oh, okay, good. I wasn't going to say him then.
You were right about your theory, but you were wrong your player. Pollock, I got rid of it. I went to the next thing, but Pollock, I believe, is top 10.
He's number 82. All right, so.
You know. The answer, number 5, is Brett Gardner.
I should just know that's the answer to every game that we play.
Can you believe how good Brett Gardner's been this year? Number 5 outfielder in fantasy. We have to talk about him.
Who was
4 for 4. Justin Upton was 6. 4 for 4 yesterday with a home run. And he's batting .290 with 8 home runs, 15 steals. He has the 4th most runs scored in baseball, or the 5th most runs scored in baseball. And a career year for Brett Gardner, who is 31 years old. I know we're not going to project him to be top 5. What do you think about Gardner, though, rest of season?
Well, let's see. The power was something I didn't really believe in coming into the year because it was such an aberration last year. But, yep, he's doing that again, and he's ratcheted the steals back up. And the Yankees are better offensively than I thought they would be. So, yeah, he's scoring a ton of runs. So I actually think he could come pretty close to sustaining this. And when I look at his stat line, I think, you know, how could this guy rank so high? But maybe he's sort of the new Hunter Pence, that maybe other than the steals, he's not doing anything that really blows you away.
Right.
But he's very good in every category.
Right. He is hitting high for him. He's usually about a .270 hitter, and Gardner's batting .290 right now. And I will bring this up. Last year, through August 3rd, a little bit longer, obviously, about a little over a month longer, say 5 weeks longer, Gardner was hitting .284, .363 on base, .467 slugging. That is pretty close to his slash line now. So .290 now, .284 then, .361 now, .363 then, .472 now, .467 then. So we could pretty much say same slash line, but it was through August 3rd. He finished in his last 41 games batting .185. With 2 home runs. So he was terrible for the last almost 2 months of the season.
And my biggest thing with him is all of his strikeout rate, his walk rate, they look exactly the same as last season. He's hitting fewer fly balls. I'm inclined to believe the power is going to slow down a decent bit. I think he's a minor sell high candidate.
Yeah, but I still think top 20 outfielder still seems very realistic for Gardner rest of season. Oh, cool. So we're on the same page there?
Yeah, but I think right now when he's a top 5 guy, I think you could look to trade him.
Okay, Chris Towers gets the point. Next category, the top 5 answers are on the board. Give me the 5 best catchers in points leagues over the last 28 days.
Jeez.
Catchers in points leagues.
Catchers who have been hot.
Come on, guys. This is not how the fantasy feud works.
All right,
Derek Norris.
Whoa, that was a hard one. He's number 5. All right, yeah. Al, you can go for a higher answer here.
Buster Posey.
He's number 1, pass or play.
Okay, pretty good.
I'll pass again.
Did you learn your lesson?
Really
You're
tough.
A coward.
Yeah.
I know it's tough, but the point of Fantasy Feud is you, and Family Feud for that matter, is you get all the easy ones, and then he can't steal. All right, you know what? Al, you're a grown man, you do what you want. Chris, we got Buster Posey 1 and Derek Norris 5.
I had a chance to win it last time.
And you lost. We need the next 3 here. 2, 3, and 4. Catchers over the last 28 days.
Yasmani Grandal.
Incorrect. He's number 7.
Oof. Salvador Perez.
Incorrect. He's number 10.
Ah, come on. This game's stupid. Brian McCann.
Brian McCann is number 2.
There we go.
Posey 1.
That was the next one I had queued up.
There we go.
Posey 1, McCann 2, Norris 5, Russell Martin 4.
Oh.
Uh-oh.
One more strike.
Interesting.
And one more answer left.
I'm just stalling for time while I look through all the teams to see if anything jumps out in my brain.
Al, how are you feeling about a potential steal here?
Not great. I think I'm not picking the right strategy.
You're not.
Steven Vogt. That's not the right answer.
He runs the table, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh!
Chris!
What?
We got Posey, McCann, Stephen Vogt, Russell Martin, and Derek Norris was really the one who stood out to me. I guess I didn't realize he had been so good lately. What say you about Derek?
Gattis was the last one.
Gattis is 1 point behind Derek Norris, Al.
I was actually having trouble thinking of his name. my brain, I was faced with too much pressure.
Could you have come up with Oso Blanco?
Who? Oh, no. No, probably not.
Because I think that should have qualified you if you did.
I was completely... I was like a deer in headlights right there. I blacked out. What happened?
Well, tell me about Derek Norris and what you think of him.
I mean, it's weird. I guess it's not that weird because he moved from a tough hitter's park to a tough hitter's park, and Pecco has been a little more hitter-friendly over the last couple of seasons. You know, he seems to have adopted a more aggressive approach at the plate, which when you're going to be more aggressive, more power is the thing you're hoping for. And so that seems to be what's happening for him right now. So I like what we're seeing from him right now. He's hitting a lot of fly balls, and it makes me buy into the power surge a little.
All right, Chris has taken the first two, but we're going to triple the points, everybody!
Oh, this is rigged.
The top seven answers are on the board. Seven answers. Looking for the seven best shortstops in Roto over the last 28 days.
Xander Bogaerts.
Xander Bogaerts is incorrect.
Oof.
He's eighth.
All right, so now I just have the board, right?
Yeah.
That's just not a spot I wanted to be in. Danny Hechevarria.
Danny Echevarria is incorrect.
Nah. This game's rigged.
First person to say an answer that's in the top seven gets control here.
Johnny Peralta.
Johnny Peralta's number four. Congratulations, Al. Pass
the
play. All
right, I'll play this time.
Good for you. All right, we're looking for the seven best shortstops in Roto over the last 28 days. We have number four, Johnny Peralta. Echevarria and Bogaerts are not in the top seven. Al, who you got, my friend?
All right, well, when we were doing our sound check, you said that Chris was too low. So in honor of Chris... I'll go Tulo.
Number one answer, Troy Tulowitzki.
All right. So we got Tulo. We got Jehani Peralta. How about Brandon Crawford?
No, he is not in the top eight.
Uh-oh.
Top seven, rather.
That was rather definitive.
I was surprised. But no, he's not in there.
Okay, let's go Rad Miller.
No Rad Miller. He is not in. You have two strikes, Al.
This is escalating quickly here.
Come on, Al.
And you said Roto, right?
Roto.
Oh boy. This is not looking good for me at all. I've got a candidate. I'm just checking my options here. All right. I don't want to kill too much time here. So I'll say, how many days? 28?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He hasn't been up that long. All right. So I won't go there. I will say JJ Hardy.
No, that is a pretty bad guess, Al.
Thank you.
Okay, Al did not get that right. That is incorrect.
He's got to have been productive enough to get on there. Carlos Correa.
That's the guy I was passing up.
You guys absolutely failed miserably on the shortstops. Congratulations to Al Melchior. But Chris got 100 total points in the first two rounds. Al scored 33 points this round. We tripled the score. Chris wins 100-99.
Talk about rigged.
Woo!
All right, so who are these fabulous shortstops that we're
shortstop stinks.
Overlooking? Yeah,
well, you guys should have named the best ones. We had Tulowitzki 1, Reyes 2, Hanley 3.
Now, I'll admit Hanley surprises me.
Yeah, me too.
He seems to be back lately. I also just... It's hard. It's a little bit difficult to put him and shortstop together because he's not playing shortstop.
Johnny Peralta 4, Brock Holt 5. I thought you guys might come up with him. Yunel Escobar 6 and Ben Zobrist, even in Roto, Ben Zobrist 7.
Wow.
Yeah.
Escobar 6.
A lot of dudes that aren't actually playing shortstop, which tells you what's going on with the shortstop position right now.
So Brandon Crawford couldn't make that cut.
No, he's really
cooled off.
Yeah, he's batting .244 with three home runs in this stretch. So here's something that really jumps out at me when I look at this. I'm looking at just at bats, not plate appearances, but at bats. I don't see anyone with over 96 at-bats in this time span, except for one guy, Jose Reyes, has 112 at-bats.
Oof.
And I think, you know, leading off for a team that scores and has as many at-bats as Toronto does. 112 at-bats. He is one spot behind Troy Tulowitzki during this stretch. And he's hit well. 304 batting average, 455 slugging, and 6 steals. I guess I didn't even realize how well, and 8 doubles, by the way. Reyes is playing great.
Yeah.
And you make a good point about the supporting cast.
Yeah, so do you consider Reyes to be, if you want an upgraded shortstop and you want an elite one, do you consider Reyes to still be an elite shortstop?
He's, I think there might only really be one elite shortstop.
I'll agree with that.
He's in that next tier, I think. He's in the Hanley tier.
Noticeably absent, I was surprised. I thought Ian Desmond might sneak in there. I said 7, though, and not 70. But, that's what you gotta do, Chris. That's how you host.
I need more drum fills.
Hosting 101. Now it's time for my 4 beefs with Chris Towers as a host. Are you ready?
Uh-oh.
Okay, number one, and this is actually a beef for both of you. I was, like, furious when I heard this. Your Aerosmith hatred is...
Oh, yeah, they're bad.
Uncalled for and incorrect.
They're bad. I saw them... They're in that, like... I don't even want to compare them... Their 90s output was so bad.
Oh, please.
That it ruined. Oh. It retroactively ruined.
Oh,
the best thing,
wow.
The best, wow, thing Aerosmith ever did was be the primary influence for Guns N' Roses musically.
The 70s output of Aerosmith is so good that even if you don't like the 90s,
then
it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I saw them in concert and I left when they started playing the 90s stuff.
Crying is a great song. That whole album, Get a Grip, is a great album. And it has
Fanboy,
an interesting cover too.
All right, Fantasy Feud. Adam Azer's 5 favorite albums.
I don't know if I have 5 favorite albums. Why don't you do my 5 favorite bands?
Well, no, actually, I think you should do them because you.
Well, now that we know Aerosmith, let's work on Boston.
Billy Joel.
No, I don't think Billy Joel's going to be on there.
Foreigner.
I think you have a very bad representation and idea of what my taste in music
Adams.
Is.
I'm just basing things off Aerosmith, mostly.
Aerosmith is so different from those bands, you psycho. Okay, you're
all
trolling
me. All
right,
so we got Aerosmith. Bryan Adams, right? He's top 5?
No, I don't think so. Red Hot Chili Peppers are number 1.
Oh, I should have known that.
Aerosmith is number 2. And then we got, like, Stone Temple Pilots, U2. See... Everclear was one of my favorites, but I know they're not like, they only had like 2 or 3 albums I really like, but I loved them. And that was kind of just the right age.
Aren't they a he?
No.
Oh.
I think that's Everlast.
Everlast is a
he. Oh, thank you.
Billy Joel might be up there, but I would say after Red Hot Chili Peppers and Aerosmith, there's just a whole bunch. I like Third Eye Blind quite a bit, actually. That's embarrassing. Never mind. I didn't say that out loud. All right. More beefs with Chris Towers. So he mentioned that it was my birthday on Friday. I got no problem with that. But the fact that you were on Facebook in the middle of your hosting.
Whoa, no. Facebook on your phone sends a notification every morning with whoever's birthday it is.
Okay.
It's a very weird thing.
Okay, fine. Then only 3 beefs. I don't know if I believe you, by the way, but.
That's exactly what happened, man.
Only 3 beefs. Beef number 2, revised number 2. Not enough Taylor Swift. I thought you were going to really go for it, and you let us down.
I know. I was disappointed. Look, nobody was more disappointed in me than me.
And number 3, originally number 4, but now number 3, we got to work on the Mike Fultonevich pronunciation.
It's pronunciations are not my forte.
Just say Fulty.
Yeah, I should just say Fulty.
Well, if you were hosting fantasy football podcasts, you'd have no problem with Matt Forte.
I know. I got that one down.
You just proved that. Okay, let's get back to baseball. Brett Gardner's 4 up number 1. 4 up number 2 is Carlos Beltran.
Yeah.
Look at what he's done since May 1st. 306 batting average, 348 on base, 524 slugging since May 1st. Would you believe that makes him only the 40th best outfielder in that stretch? I can't really figure it out. He's only scored 14 runs, which is ridiculously low. He hasn't played all that much, I guess, but.
Yeah, no runs scored, no stolen bases anymore, hasn't played that much, the RBI total's down, I get it.
But the slash line is so good, and the last 2 games have been really good. I mean, it's only 2 games. 39% owned for Beltran. What do you think? Is he under-owned?
Nah, I don't think so. Because it's since May 1st. I'm surprised, I'll admit, I'm surprised that he's had that much power since then. But I can't give you, you know, good reason other than the fact that he's old and hurt all the time.
I mean, my reasoning would be, even if in that just slice from May 1st on, 39th in head-to-head, 40th in Roto, he's only worth really starting in Roto then.
Yeah.
And Roto doesn't make up a huge proportion of our league, so it makes sense.
That is only 36% on, yeah. Logan Forsythe is 4-up number 3. 2-for-3 with a home run and 2 steals. Discuss.
81% well, he's 81% owned. Mm-hmm. And that strikes me as just about right. I mean, I think that this has been a breakout season for him where he's hit for power that we didn't really know he had coming into this year. And he's versatile. So he's another one who's definitely a must-own in Roto and, you know, not a bad guy to own even in a standard head-to-head league.
We talked about Byron Buxton, so we move on from 4-up to 2-down. Two guys who are supposed to be studs, and they are struggling. Edwin Encarnacion, hey nerds, he has the highest ground ball to fly ball ratio of his career, tied with 2006, his rookie season. Encarnacion has the highest K rate, 2006 was his second year, sorry. Highest K rate since his rookie season, highest ground ball to fly ball ratio since his second season, 2006. And batting just .236. So are you concerned about Edwin Encarnacion?
His hard hit average is down significantly from 38.1 to 26.7%. So I'm definitely concerned with him. You know, I traded Shelby Miller for him a couple weeks ago, and that has not worked out for me. I still think it was the right deal to make. But I'm not sure he's necessarily the buy low candidate that his struggles might make you think.
Yeah, first of all, I think that's a great deal. Secondly, I'm looking at the month-by-month breakdown. In May, he had 8 home runs. Now, he hit only .225, but the strikeout rate was good, you know. And, I mean, it usually is pretty decent for him. You know, this month, not much power yet, but he's hitting .308. He was fine up until a few weeks ago.
How about Pujols or Encarnacion?
E5.
Yep.
And 2-down number 2 is Michael Brantley. Last 30 games, Brantley's batting .241 with a .313 on base and a slugging percentage that's even lower than his on base. Brantley's slugging percentage is .310. No home runs in 30 games and only 2 steals. This is a guy who hit 5 home runs after the All-Star break last year. I'm mostly concerned about his health, and Brantley is 21%, he's number 21 at the outfield position in points, number 31 in Roto. So far this season, I what did he have? Like, he's been having kind of back issues. He's been a little bit in and out of the lineup. I just don't think he's healthy. And I also think that he was probably overdrafted in Roto. But what do you think about Brantley? How concerned are you about his struggles?
I'm a little concerned about the power. You know, because last year was such an outlier for him. He didn't hit more fly balls. It was just a huge spike in the home run to fly ball. And all of a sudden this season, it's right back to where it was. But I think everything else about his game is right on point. It's, you know, his BABIP is low, but he's still striking out, or still barely striking out. It's lower than it was last season even. He's still walking more. I like everything he's doing, but I think he's probably more of a 12 to 15 homer guy than a 20-20 guy.
21 doubles for Brantley, 30 walks, 19 strikeouts. So he screams points league guy right now and not necessarily Roto or categories. Will that change, though?
I think it will, because he's not so far off of last year's stolen base pace. He was pretty valuable in Roto even in the second half when he wasn't hitting for power, and that did look much more in line with his history than the first half. But he's going to be an elite batting average guy. I'm not exactly sure why the BABIP has been so low for the last month and a half or so. But I'm sure that that's going to correct itself, and he's, as Chris pointed out, still a great contact hitter.
Let's play fill in the blank. Trevor Bauer is on my blank list.
I can't say that.
Just kidding. Don't say that. Trevor Bauer is really frustrating, though. He's 6-4 with a .386 ERA. Got lit up yesterday. He said there were a lot of bloops that fell in, and he had bad luck. He also walked four guys in three innings. That's two of his last three have been terrible. Trevor Bauer will be better or worse rest of season than he has been so far. 6-4, 3.86 ERA.
I'll say slightly better.
I'll push. I think he's a high threes guy.
I'm still hopeful. Last time he had two really bad starts in a row. He's had two out of three. Early in May, he had two bad starts in a row, and he gave up, over the next five starts, he gave up seven combined earned runs. So I think Bauer's capable of being better. Certainly, I understand the skepticism.
It's just the control for me.
Yeah, I know. But he doesn't give up a lot of hits, which is yesterday notwithstanding. He's been very hard to hit this year.
Yeah, no, he has. He's been harder to hit. And I don't think he's going to be a good control pitcher for any extended point this season. But his walk rate is up quite a bit from last year. He has shown that he's capable of having better control than this.
Yeah, but this is right around where his overall major league career has been and right around where he was in the minors for the most part.
Fringy starting pitchers, rank these four. Hector Santiago, even though he's 87% owned, I'll still put him in the fringy group. Drew Hutchison, Tommy Malone, Brett Oberholzer.
I think in that order, Santiago, Hutchison, Malone, Oberholzer. Maybe Oberholzer above Malone, but I think they're both super fringy.
I will definitely put Oberholzer over Malone. I'll keep him behind Hutchison, but again, that's just strictly on potential for Hutchison. If Hutchison doesn't start getting righties out, which seems like a weird thing to say, I don't really see any reason not to put Oberholzer over him.
The strange thing for Hutchison is he's got a 8.92 road ERA and a 2.38 home ERA.
Just like you would expect for someone who pitches in the pitcher's haven that is the Rogers Center.
In the bullpen, Jason Mott got the save last night because of course he did. And
this is what you wanted, nerds.
Yeah. Joaquin Soria gave up two home runs all of last year. Both of them came in one outing. He has now given up a home run in four straight appearances and five of his last six. Do you think there could be a change? And he didn't blow a save or anything. It was a non-save situation. But do you think there could be a change in the Detroit bullpen?
But who?
Yeah.
That's a thing.
Yeah.
Soria was the backup guy, remember?
Yeah. So. Yeah. I don't think it's going to be Jabba, even though Jabba's having a good year. That was a failed experiment last year.
I guess I would have to say no.
Roberto Ozuna got his second save for Toronto. It was a two-inning save, and he's actually been really good. Two innings, hitless, one walk, five strikeouts, got a 2.12 ERA. Could he be a candidate in Toronto, Roberto Ozuna?
Not only could he be a candidate, I have to wonder if this is the beginning of him being the guy.
Oh, okay, all right. Keep him on your radar then.
Yeah.
And how about Domingo Santana? Another home run. Let's compare what he did in six games last year to six games this year. Six games last year, Santana was 0 for 17 with 14 strikeouts, and he was sent down. Six games this year, he's 3 for 12 with two home runs, but seven strikeouts. Not exactly hitting great, but maybe could replace Preston Tucker. 8% owned, Domingo Santana?
Yeah, no, I think he could. I think it's, you know, whoever's got the hot hand is probably going to get the playing time there, and I'm not sure I believe in either one enough to pursue them and think that they're going to run away with the job, but he's got a fighting chance.
Injuries, news, and notes. Jake Odorizzi 2 weeks away from returning. Dexter Fowler left last night's game with an ankle injury. Aroldis Chapman's on paternity leave. Jared Weaver has no structural damage in his hip. Tsuyoshi Wada left last night's game with a deltoid injury, but it was probably only a cramp. Jorge Soler at least a week away from beginning a rehab assignment. Alex Avila could begin one Thursday. Danny Duffy scheduled to come off the DL and start Wednesday, tomorrow. Jose Altuve returned and went 1-for-4 with a double at the Angels. I'll say this. I think that I'm interested in I want to pick up Duffy right now and put him on a DL slot, see how he does, and then evaluate what I'm going to do at the end of the week because he was really good last year. Thoughts?
Have to be a pretty deep league for me to do that.
I mean, if you have the spare DL spot, there's no risk.
Yeah, it's just, I'd rather pursue, I don't know, if Corbin is out there. You know,
oh yeah,
like that.
I'm not gonna
There's, you know, several other candidates.
Yeah. Emails, fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. From Brad in South Carolina. Grade the trade. He says, good morning, Dean, Roman, and Seth.
That WWE?
Is it? Alright, well, we'll look it up. I tried buying low on Strasburg. I gave up Denard Span and David Ortiz for Steven Strasburg.
Oh, it's a grade. I'll give that a C+.
Yeah, that sounds about right. It is the Shield from WWE. It's okay. a three-way tag team trio, I guess.
Okay.
I wonder if that was for Adam, the Shield.
I hope not. That's not the Shield I like. From Jonathan. Oh, this is the Kershaw email. We read that one. From Zach. Head-to-head categories keeper league. You can keep six players based on the round you drafted them in. So if you keep Trout, he'll cost you a first-round pick next year, and you have to throw him back the year after. If you drafted someone in round 10, you can keep him for a 10th-round pick next year, 9th round the next year, 8th round the next year, etc. for 10 years.
That's fun.
Make sense?
Yep.
So, with that said, someone traded Ben Zobrist, round 13 value, Manny Machado, round 11 value, and a 2016 round 3 pick for McCutcheon, round 1, Donaldson, round 2, and a 2016 4th round pick. So you gave up Zobrist, Machado, and a 3rd round pick for McCutcheon, Donaldson, and a 4th round pick, and the only thing you really are giving up is 10 years of keeper value for Machado and 12 for Zobrist.
Yeah, it's definitely lopsided, but it's not vetoable.
Okay, that's what he wanted to know.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Here's Sean in Kingston, Ontario, Canada. Grade the trade. I give Josh Donaldson, I get Carlos Correa and Starling Marte in a head-to-head categories league. So give up Donaldson, get Correa and Marte.
I'm not the biggest Marte fan in the world, but I think that's pretty fair. Mm-hmm. I think it's a C. I think it's right down the middle.
I'll agree with that.
Next is Matt in Minneapolis. He says, hey, Will, Sean, and Chucky. Come on now.
Is that Good Will Hunting?
It is Good Will Hunting.
Oh.
I'm in a 15-team roto. You know, the more I think about it, guys, I just want to make it clear that I do like Third Eye Blind, but there's no way they're one of my 5 favorite bands. I really need to...
You were pretty clear about that before.
Understand that, okay? Hey there, Will, Sean, and Chucky. What?
They're touring.
I know. I missed them. I missed them in Miami. I was almost down for... That would have been fun. I've seen them twice, actually. It's fun.
They missed you, too.
Yeah, I missed them. Okay, Matt's question is, 15-team Roto League, we only have one bench spot. Rusne Castillo was dropped. I have my starting 5 outfielders, and I'm using an outfielder for utility. But should I drop one of my outfielders in a 15-team Roto League to pick up Castillo? Stanton, Billy Hamilton, Alex Gordon, Marcelo Zuna, Cole Calhoun, Christian Yelich.
No, I would not drop any of those.
So. Would you drop Simeon or Neil Walker?
Yeah, I'd drop Neil Walker.
That's what I was thinking.
Cool. FanDuel. I'm out of breath, by the way. This has been a very exciting show, invigorating. A
lot of game playing.
A lot of game playing and a lot of game show hosting, and I'm not really cut out for it. Also, the water machine is not working in the office, so I'm parched.
Gotta get you hydrated, man.
So, I have a FanDuel lineup that I'm a little unsure of because I didn't have time to look at all 15 games, but I picked a few. Time. Yeah, full slate. Again, I like Yankees, especially Yankees lefties against Sean O'Sullivan. 2 years in a row where lefties have really beat up on Sullivan. This year they have an OPS over 1,000. They're going to be expensive, but Chase Headley's 2,500 if you want to gamble on him. He bats second, so that's not a bad thing. And Garrett Jones is 2,200. I expect him to start tonight instead of Mark Teixeira. I really don't like going cheap at first base. There are so many good first basemen that I don't want to give one up, but I went with Garrett Jones and got Tulowitzki in my lineup. I'm not sure I'm going to keep it that way. Pittsburgh versus Josh Smith. Tell me about Josh Smith. He's making his major league debut for Cincinnati. This game is in Pittsburgh. Do you like Pirates hitters? Like Gregory Polanco is, I think, $2,200.
He shoots too many jumpers.
He does, yeah.
He's more of a
good,
dunk
good
guy.
Defensive player. He doesn't play as well as you would think given his athleticism and passing.
I know, but I just, right, and I don't really trust him tonight against the Pirates.
It's funny because, I think that's a decent stack, but I was actually more focused on the Reds, who are very good against hitting lefties against Jeff Locke.
I have Marlon Byrd in my lineup at 2,900. Byrd has a 992 OPS against lefties. He's 4-for-10 with 2 home runs against Jeff Locke.
Yeah. I think Byrd's a must play tonight.
Hey,
Alec, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no. Yeah, that, Byrd's been very good against lefties. I think Frazier has been very good, even better against lefties. So that's another potential if you want to go really expensive at third base. It's a shame Zach Cozart's out for the season. He was a good play versus lefties earlier in the season.
I think Suarez was pretty good against lefties in the minors, if I recall.
Okay.
And he's going to be cheap, I'm sure.
Now, Al, I know before the show started, you said you were all about Bumgarner.
Yeah.
He's facing the Padres tonight.
Yeah, so, you know, I like the matchup. There are several good pitchers, but he seems to have the clearest path to a win and some good numbers. You got Price and Salazar squaring off against each other. I think in a vacuum, I probably would prefer Price over Mad Bum, but I do worry about the matchup and the opposing pitcher for David Price.
Price I just want to say, I looked at his last 4 starts. I think all of them came with Detroit after the trade against Cleveland. He's given up 2 earned runs in 4 starts. So he just owns Cleveland, and he is my starting pitcher because of that. But it's hard to really argue with him versus Bumgarner.
Yeah. Archer's got the Blue Jays, so yeah, that's a tough matchup. I think Greinke at the Cubs is worth considering. But to me, Mad Bum is the best option.
There are a few cheap pitchers I like if you want to go that route, if you want to stay under the $9,000 mark. I think C.J. Wilson against the Houston Astros could be a good play.
Yeah.
He's been striking out a ton of batters lately. And Jesse Chavez, 8,900 against the Rangers team that strikes out a bunch.
I really like Steven Strasburg, actually. Earlier today, I don't think he was available on FanDuel, but now he is. He's supposed to start today against...
I'm not seeing him in mine.
I am seeing him now. But okay, fine. Just check on that. He's $8,000, $100 cheaper than C.J. Wilson. He's facing Atlanta. Freddie Freeman
You have to do?
What?
You have to unclick only show probable pitchers, and then you can add him.
Okay. Yeah, Freddie Freeman's beat him up a little bit, but Freeman's not going to play. So I think this is a good matchup for him. It's a little bit risky, first start coming off the DL. I don't know if he's going to be on a pitch count or not. That's probably something worth investigating. Does anybody know? Pitch count for Strasburg?
Not that I've seen.
Yeah, I haven't seen that.
Is he definitely starting today?
Yeah. As far as I know. I mean, you'll know before the lineups lock, obviously. They're all at 7:05. That game's at 7, 8 o'clock. You know, should have no problem finding that out.
I mean, it's clearly a great matchup for him, but, Alex Wood, I think, could also have a very nice start. And I'm just not trusting Strasburg. Not until I see a couple good starts.
Yeah,
from.
No, I feel that. Carlos Martinez.
Can we just go back to cheap pitching for a sec?
Well, let's just but how about Carlos Martinez for 9,500 at Miami?
I thought about that as well. Not quite cheap enough, but he's good enough that it might be worth it.
Okay, yes, go ahead, Al.
All right, and my thoughts exactly on Martinez. I feel like we should have some sort of waiver on Chavez because I have a feeling it's going to be a rough night for him. I don't like the Rangers matchup.
And he's been significantly better at home than on the road, so that's a little concerning for sure. And it's Oakland's not exactly a team that you can just say you expect them to win, even if their run differential tells you they should. What about if you want to go really cheap, John Neese against the Brewers, who are 28th or 29th in baseball, and WOBA against lefties?
I was thinking the other side of that.
Okay.
Mike Fiers against the woeful Mets.
I think you could go either way on that one, but Neese is only 7,400, so that was my thought. Fiers is only 76, though.
You probably have a Fiers tournament lineup tonight.
If you want some players to avoid, lefties against CeCe Sabathia, so maybe Ryan Howard is someone you might consider. Oh, Yankee Stadium, short porch, Sabathia stinks. Well, he's actually been very good against lefties. They're batting 192 with a 200 on base. 460 slugging against Sabathia at 73 at bats. Buster Posey is 0-for-10 against Odrysa Mertesponier. I don't know how meaningful that is, but I think I would rather have McCann at home against Sean O'Sullivan for a slightly cheaper price, $200 less than Buster Posey. and Denard Span. This was not a split I was aware of until last week. Denard Span is terrible this year against lefties. He is, he looks pretty cheap, 3,200, not bad, leading off for the Nationals, but 2-for-13 against Alex Wood and batting 170 with a 226 slugging percentage against lefties this year. And he is crushing righties. He has an OPS over 900 against righties. But you probably want to sit Span against lefties. Or not put him in your FanDuel lineup. Anything Makes else, sense. Fellas?
I'm spent.
Yeah.
Covered it all.
Yeah, sorry, not quite as detailed as yesterday. I mean, I could give my lineup, but I think it's going to change too much. And I think I'm going to drop... I don't know that I'm going to go with Price. I think there are enough good pitching options today where I'm going to go a little cheaper, maybe like Carlos Martinez, and save the $2,000 and use it on hitting. Today, I think I can get away with that.
Yeah, I think there's enough pitching today.
Chris Towers, Al Melchior, thank you for playing The Feud, and thank you for being on the show.
Thank you.
Thank you for hosting it.
Don't you forget who's hosting the show. I'm Adam Azer, my two friends, Chris and Al, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
I'm the captain now.